The third hour of Issues Etc. today is open lines for your questions and your comments. That means anything you'd like to talk about. I know it's Monday. Not a lot has accrued this week so far. It is the first Monday in June. I can't believe June already? And we're into the summer movie season. We'll talk a little bit about Bruce Almighty. It's one of those movies I was looking forward to. I saw the trailer for this about 3 months back, and I thought, it looks funny. And Jim Carrey makes me laugh. I can't help it. He just makes me laugh. Now, this movie has raised several questions I'd like to lay before you, and we'll hear a little bit from Jim Carrey himself. His particular brand of spirituality, not that much different than the average person's brand of spirituality. Now, I could sit here and listen to the Carrey cuts and say, okay, Jim Carrey is, this is how I would respond to Jim Carrey, but I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. There are three shortcuts, and we'll listen to them, and I'd like to hear how you would respond if you had the opportunity to sit down with Jim Carrey. This is a guy who's not only funny, but a very reasonable, likable guy. And if he were telling you his beliefs, his system of beliefs, his faith, if you will, how would you as a Christian respond to him? This is good. This is basic stuff, really. And remember, his beliefs are not that far different from what your neighbor believes next door to you. We'll hear from him in just a second. One of the stories that came out of Bruce Almighty, of course, is this phone number that keeps getting flashed on the beeper that the Jim Carrey character is carrying around. Usually it's a 555 prefix, and it's not a valid phone number anywhere in the United States. Well, they put a different phone number on there that is valid in several parts in the United States, and people with this phone number are getting calls from moviegoers asking for God. Some of them are just crank calls. Some of them are serious. I've got a story to share with you about that a little later in the hour. So what would you do if you were God? Or in the case of the Jim Carrey character, Bruce, if God went on vacation and gave you his powers for a week, BeliefNet.com asked that question. Some of the readers of that website had some answers of their own that might interest you. The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. If you had God's power, what would you do? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Up first, Larry is calling from his car. Larry, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, thanks a lot. 3 points. First, you asked earlier, what does Bush's good-looking Hispanic or partial Hispanic nephew have in common with Gebhardt's daughter?
Yes.
I'd say they're both fishing in the same pond, both looking for babes. second point, which kind of leads me to that, is you think it should be legal for an effeminate homosexual to marry a masculine lesbian? That's just a thought. I don't know. It's something to think about.
All right. Okay? Larry, what would you if you were God, what would you do?
I would commit suicide one way or the other, because I would have ultimate power, and either I would hate the world I created, or it would eat me up.
All right, Larry, thank you very much. I think going along with the whole God thing would probably be an inability to snuff yourself out of existence. I mean, if you exist in and of yourself. Larry needs his own program. A little satire from Larry in Collinsville. The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Now, he raises the question, and I'll get to the story in a second, but you may have seen this in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Gephardt's gay daughter will be in campaign spotlight. I bet you if Dick Gephardt would have read that headline, someone would have shown him a crystal ball 25 years ago when he was first aspiring to national office. This will be the headline when you run for president in 2004. Gephardt's gay daughter will be in campaign spotlight. He probably would have fainted. But now he sits there happily and says, yes, I think my daughter could probably help me firm up my voter base among the homosexuals. Now, is this any different than George W. Bush trotting out his, I think, heterosexual nephew when he wanted the Hispanic vote in 2002? Just playing to the base, trying to firm up the right demographic. The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Jim Carrey is starring in a new movie. He's making a lot of money, folks. The last time I heard, it's $20 million a picture. And he has made some of the funniest movies in the last 10, 15 years, if you ask me. There's no doubt about it. He's a gifted comedian, and he's a smart guy. Most comedians have to be very intelligent. Comedy is largely a thing of the mind, isn't it? Well, Jim Carrey has his own thoughts on spirituality and on various aspects of who God is and how God works. We'll hear from him here. First, Jim Carrey talks about the power of prayer. I want to know, how would you respond to this?
I don't necessarily, you know, ask for material things anymore or anything like that. And it may not be through the Virgin Mary. It may just be, you know, straight to God or whatever I need. I do that, and I have done that my whole life. So, I really believe in it.
Jim Carrey believes in the power of prayer. He says he prays, he has prayed, and he's done it his whole life. He doesn't ask for material things when you're making $20 million a picture. I don't imagine you have a long wish list. You can pretty much go out and buy anything you want. But how would you respond? I could respond here, but I want your response if Jim Carrey, if you had a conversation with him, and he said, you know, this is how it works for me. This is what prayer does. I pray, and I believe in the power of prayer. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Next, Carrey says that he is a believer of sorts.
I believe in zucchinis. Holy zucchinis! No, I've gone multi-denominational. I've studied a lot of different things, and basically, I don't know what God is, but I know that he's at least an energy that rules all that, you know, walks the earth. And I really think there are laws, and maybe they're within ourselves. I don't know what it is, but I call that God, too.
Okay, so he's got a rather fluid definition of God. God is, at the very least, as he's made a study of all the denominations and religions, God is, at the very least, in his conclusion, an energy that rules all that walks the earth. And he does believe that there are laws. I imagine he's talking here about moral laws that may only exist within us, but he says he calls that God too. How would you respond to that? What would you say to Jim Carrey? Give me a call. I'd like your answer to this. This is important because this isn't very different from what the person you work with or the person who lives next door to you or maybe even someone within your own family believes. 505-7850 1-800-730-2727. Tell me how you would respond to Jim Carrey. Finally, Jim says that he believes that there are some moral principles.
I believe that this, you know, here we go, the secret to life.
Yes.
My interpretation of the secret to life is don't do anything or try not to do anything that makes you feel like you deserve to lose and be grateful for what you have.
Pretty simple key for life, wouldn't you say? Don't do anything that would make you feel like you deserve to lose and be grateful. How would you respond to this? Now, I think we can give Jim Carrey the benefit of the doubt. This is not your typical new age Hollywood person like Shirley MacLaine, who's just off there writing books and spouting nonsense that she's learned from her guru. This is a guy who's probably spent the better part of his adult life working hard to make his career. He's got some spiritual interests. They don't go very deep. But he believes in the power of prayer, and he prays. He believes that there is a God, at least an energy that rules everyone who walks the earth, that there are laws, and that the basic key to life is don't do anything that would make you feel like you should lose and be grateful. Now, if you had opportunity to have a one-on-one conversation with Jim Carrey, tell me, how would you respond to this? Give me a call now, 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. Let's go first to Claire. Claire is calling from Baldwin. Welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi. Well, to answer your question, what would I do if I was God? I hope it would be only for a day because I couldn't begin to take God's place and I would go fishing that day rather than mess everything up. And I do want to say, though, that I saw the movie, and of course it was ridiculous, but I thought it was funny. And it did get a person to think that that you shouldn't blame God for everything that happens in your life.
Claire, thank you very much for the call. I'll say Claire would go fishing if she had God's power for a day so that she wouldn't mess anything up. And of course, Jim Carrey's, that's part of his comedy shtick, is the ridiculous. That's what makes it funny. How would you respond to Jim Carrey, not the character, but the actor, when he says, look, I believe in the power of prayer, God is an energy force that rules all things. There are principles in life that are laws, good and right and wrong. Just don't do anything that would make you feel like you should lose, and be grateful. You've got a chance to have a one-on-one conversation with him and to respond to some of these things. He's a nice guy. He'll listen. What would you say? 505-780-1800-730-2727. Wayne is calling from his car. Hi, Wayne.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing well.
What would I say to him? I would just confess my faith to him. I'd say God has revealed himself. And that's all we really know of God, the truth about God. He's revealed himself in the Holy Scriptures, the 66 canonical books of the Bible. And only God can reveal himself. And there he tells us his law, his perfect law. And he says if we kept it, we'd go to heaven by the law. But we cannot keep it because we're sinners. I would simply confess my faith to him and then the gospel of Jesus Christ and the warning of the wrath of God to come for those outside of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Wayne, thank you very much. Now, there's one approach that is kind of your basic, no holds barred. I'm just simply going to go and preach and proclaim a simple law and gospel message, sin and grace. Now, Jim Carrey, being a reasonable guy, probably says, you know, that's good for you. That's good for you. I'm happy for you, in fact. And I know a lot of people believe that whole sin thing. It didn't really work for me because I think the lines are often a little more gray than they are black or white. I do believe that there is real black and real white, but a lot of gray in between. And, you know, how do I account for the fact, he's going to ask you, how do I account for the fact that I'm a sinner, if what you say is true, and I'm not so sure where I stand on this whole Jesus thing, but look, I'm making $20 million a picture. And every time I turn around, somebody's handing me another $20 million. And I can't do anything wrong, or at least it appears this way. I'm on the top of the world. And he's asking you, if what you say is true, and I'm under the wrath of God, how come I go and sleep in a $6 million mansion and drive around in limousines? And he's not trying to be facetious. He wants to know, if that's how the world works, why are things going so well for me? 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. By the way, folks, your neighbor who lives next door to you doesn't make $6 million a year. Maybe he just does a little better than you. That's what he thinks. He says, my kids are healthy, my job is good, got a couple cars in the garage. What do I need God for? Lisa's calling from Houston. Lisa, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello.
Hello.
I tell you what, I haven't got an answer, but it sounds exactly like conversations with two of my cousins who are ex-Lutherans and just kind of basically New Age thinkers. And it's not easy to convey faith, or, you know, why you believe, especially when people don't even believe that there is the concept of truth.
Well, I would agree with you there, Lisa, but I think that's why we bring up the Jim Carrey example. This is a guy who probably in casual conversation would say, yeah, there is truth. And yeah, it is illogical to say that there's a bunch of truths that all compete, but they're all equally valid. There's got to be one truth. He says, I've studied these things. I've gone multi-denominational, he says. And I think there is a God. Now, had he really abandoned the concept of truth, he probably would have also abandoned the concept of there being anything that you could pin down as being God. So I think there's something to, I hesitate to say it this way, but I think there's something to work with here. There's at least an open door and an opportunity with this kind of vague spirituality where it sounds as though, and the reason I think he's a good example, he sounds as though he's still open-minded, which is kind of odd for someone in his position nowadays. Most of the time, celebrities at his level of success and acclaim if they delve into matters spiritual at all, Lisa, they're pretty much shut off listening to the truth altogether.
Well, I have pulled out the Nicene Creed and the Athanasian Creed and said, here are the cliff notes.
Well, that's a good way of thinking about it. Lisa, thank you for calling. Lisa, by the way, is listening on the internet in Houston, Texas. And for those of you who are listening on the internet, you can feel free to use that toll-free number, 1-800-730-2727. We will let you stay on the line to hear the response to your question or your comment if you need to do that. Bruce is calling from his car. Bruce, welcome to Issues Etc.
Yes, hi. I guess the idea that Carrie has that's so common, so widespread out there about God perhaps being some energy force, I think somehow I might argue with him and discuss the fact of his own personality and where does that personality originate. Is it just from some energy force or by chance, through natural selection or whatever, and kind of attack it from there being a personal God? At least the God of the Bible is presented as a personal God who is a holy God too. And I think I would also question him on, I have some concerns, and I don't know if you've discussed this on other shows too, about the idea of a movie like Bruce Almighty that that I think probably does not hold up God as a holy God, and I find that troublesome.
Have you seen the movie there, Bruce?
No.
Well, I haven't either, so I'm not going to go down that road yet. I am going to see it, but, you know, I'm thinking about a couple other movies. One is It's a Wonderful Life, that kind of has angels with no God. And number two is the old George Burns movie. You remember that? God.
Oh, yeah.
And God 2.
I don't care for that one much either.
All right, God, the kind of the God of the golf course. He's out there in his Bermuda shorts and his floppy hat, and he's got his cigar. And,
right.
You know, he's on the ninth tee all the time, which, you know, if I were God, maybe that's where I'd be. Bruce, thank you very much. I don't know if I'd be working for a living if I had the, I don't know. Maybe I'd have the biggest radio show in the world. You know, you could do, the FCC can't stop you then. Who cares who, Clear Channel? Phooey, I'm God. I am Clear Channel. The funny thing is, whenever I ask myself, what would I do if I were God, which I got to be honest with you, never asked myself that question before. What would I do if I had the power of God? My first inclination is always to, it's always something bad. It is. Now, there are some responses here that I found on beliefnet.com that sound very pious, very pious. But if you woke me up at the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, and said, you have the power of God for the next 15 minutes, I do not even want to think about what I would do. My first impulse. I think I'd get out my hit list first. It'd be a long one, too. Well, actually, it might be kind of short. I could solve a lot of problems with a few strategic snuffs. You're gone, snuff. You're gone, snuff. You're gone, snuff. And a lot of people's problems would be over with. Which is probably just the very reason why God doesn't lend me any of his power. But I'll share some of those responses with you here as the conversation continues. But Chris is waiting in his car. Chris, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks. I first want to compliment you for your response after the gentleman called saying he would just profess his faith. I think the response you gave was very thought-provoking, at least for me. And it made me kind of change what I was going to say in a sense of, I think I might take a Christ approach, which would be, instead of just making statements, ask questions of Jim and just ask him about, you know, you said this God's an energy force. Well, you know, what do you think the characteristics of this God would be? And you know, it seems like you've made some assumptions about that. Where do you think we can find out more about this God?
Now, Chris, don't get me wrong. I don't think that the caller's approach was necessarily wrong or off the beam, because I'm all for the law and gospel message. In fact, I think sooner than later, you have got to get straight to that point. But I think there is an approach with it when you got a guy like at least my general impression of Jim Carrey on this whole spirituality thing says he has left, in the statements he has made here in these sound bites, and for those who haven't heard them, we'll play them near the end of the hour. I will give my response to them. He has left some doors hanging wide open. Mm-hmm. Not so much for refuting his position, but for pursuing the subject, and I think in a way that he might be willing to listen to, but who knows. Chris, thank you very much for the call. Roland is up here. Let's see what Roland has to say as time gets closer to our break. Roland calling in his car. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
How you doing? Just real quick, you said you're glad that God has not given you his power.
I didn't say I was glad. I just said I think I know why he hasn't.
You know what? I was going to say, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, who by this in the stead and by the command, et cetera, et cetera, don't you have the authority to forgive sins?
I have the authority to forgive sins, but the power remains with God.
Right.
And
but in a sense, you do have some of his.
Yeah, but you know the question I'm asking is,
I mean, how much more authority do you need than that?
Well, actually, that's the kind of authority that God has given to his whole church, and it's God's highest authority and power. And I'm glad you pointed that out, Roland, although the question really is, in the context of the Bruce Almighty movie, kind of the power to for your will to be done at will, which is what people usually think about when it comes to the power of God. Some of the responses here, Roland, you know, there are people saying, I would make all the world leaders get together and agree with one another. Snip, snap. I'm going to snap my fingers and everybody's going to agree with one another. Or I would make energy cheap. I mean, for that matter, why go through the middleman? Why not just have a car that runs on air? Or why not just say everyone can fly? I mean, there's a lot of improvements one could make to society and to the culture in general with a snap of your fingers if you were God. And behind each one of them, it seems to me, Roland, is a question, and that is, well, God already has this power. Why hasn't he done it? Why does he still have us pumping oil out of the ground to make gasoline, drive around in these archaic automobiles, when he could snap his finger and we could all just float wherever we want to go?
Perhaps God is old-fashioned and he still believes in truth.
I think that's probably true. Thank you very much, Roland. God certainly does believe in truth. I don't know if I put it that way. God is truth. And I guess if he believes in himself, which he does, here's one. I would want, let me see. First of all, I would see my father, mother, brother, and husband who are deceased and tell them how much I love them and miss them. This is Barbara from El Cajon, California. What would you do if you had the power of God? Then she goes, I would want tolerance for all our differences, not only politically, but also our religious beliefs and for our differences of who we are and where we come from. Peace would be such a wonderful gift to give the world. And her formula for peace, God bless her, Barbara from El Cajon, would be just to simply ignore all our differences. That's where peace would come from. Tolerance for all of our differences, including our religious beliefs. And when I first read this, I thought, well, you know, there's always one. There's always one. And then I read on, and response after response after response was exactly the same. It's no easy task trying to accept people whose religious beliefs or political opinions are different from my own. Yet God does this every day. As soon as the sun rises, wrote one. We'll be right back.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
All right, Issues, Etc. junkies. Here's something just for you. It's a confessional Christian worldview seminar, June the 20th through the 27th at the Schwann Center in northern Wisconsin. We'll be there broadcasting live along with Issues Etc. regular guests Rolf Preuss, Angus Manouge, George Mather, and Craig Parton. Here are some of the topics they'll discuss at the seminar: Islam, Catholicism Today, Postmodernism and Hypersecularism, Theological Liberalism, Defending the Biblical Worldview, and more. The reasonable registration fee covers the seminar, lodging, and meals for a week. Call the Schwann Center today, 1-800-577-4848. Ask for information on a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June the 20th through the 27th in Trago, Wisconsin. 1-800-577-4848. 1-800-577-4848. Or visit our website, issuesetc.org.
The creation message, is it too controversial?
Answers with Ken Ham.
host of the acclaimed film, The Genesis Solution. Well, Ken, how do you respond to people who say that by insisting on taking Genesis literally, our creation ministry is divisive?
Well, first of all, we need to find out what the Bible teaches about division. You know, we're told that there was division because of Jesus Christ, and that he actually came to divide. We're also told in Scripture that men love darkness rather than light. So when you shine your light, that is the truth of God's Word, into the darkness, there's going to be division. You'd expect it. It's inevitable. So you see, when we oppose evolution, of course there'll be controversy because the Bible tells us that the majority of people don't want to accept God's Word. To be honest, I'd be worried if there wasn't division, as long, of course, if we did it for the right reasons and standing on the authority of the Word of God. Also, when you understand that the Bible teaches there's none righteous, no, not one, and there's none that seeketh after God, we should expect that Genesis won't be accepted. What should we boldly proclaim concerning the origin of this world? An exciting, but let's face it, divisive message. In the beginning, God created.
One of the most asked questions we receive at the Answers Ministry is this. Are dinosaurs mentioned in the Bible? Well, Ken Ham provides fascinating answers in his free booklet, and it's available on our popular and easy-to-use website, AnswersRadio.com. AnswersRadio.com.
AMA 50 KFUO weather for St. Louis. Overnight cloudy, a chance for rain, low of about 50. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy, and a high near 66. Right now it's overcast and 55 in St. Louis. Another look at St. Louis traffic. Westbound 40 between Kings Highway and Hampton. Some stop-and-go traffic there. Also slow from west of 270 to Mason. Southbound 270 between Olive and Manchester Road, heavy traffic. Westbound 44 between Lindbergh and 270, some slow traffic there. Eastbound 270 between Route 370 and 170, some heavy traffic. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and Hanley, heavy traffic there. Eastbound 40 between Market and 20th and the Poplar Street Bridge, slow traffic there. And northbound 55 between 44 and the Poplar Street Bridge, more heavy traffic. That's traffic and weather on AM 850 KFUO. I'm Craig Allen.
On Tuesday's Midday Living Jubilee, live at 11:05 on AM 850 KFUO. Join Joni Harwell and me, Diane Summers. We'll talk with Paul Pettit, Director of Spiritual Formation at Dallas Theological Seminary and founder of Dynamic Dads, an organization offering encouragement to fathers. It's also the title of his Tyndale House book. We'll talk about Dynamic Dads. Also, we'll find out from Dorothy Hutchinson Gross about goings-on at the St. Louis Science Center on the next Living Jubilee.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's open lines for your questions, your comments, your phone calls. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We've had a lot of people respond so far to the question about what would you do if you were God, and if you were sitting with Jim Carrey, who stars in Bruce Almighty, who in the story gets God's power while God is on vacation. Well, he had a few thoughts. He's been doing some interviews, some press for the movie, and talking about his particular spirituality. He believes in the power of prayer. He didn't pray for material things too much anymore. He believes that God is at the very least, he says, at the very least, an energy force that rules everything that walks the earth. That there are laws, maybe they're only within us. He also calls that God, too. And he believes that the key or the meaning to life is found in not doing anything that would make you feel like you ought to lose and being grateful. Car phone callers, internet callers, first-time callers get top priority as you call 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. If you had a chance to sit down one-on-one with Jim Carrey and share your thoughts on spirituality, what would you say? And what would you do if you at God's power? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You know, it always comes up in a conversation about spirituality. Right and wrong. Is there right and wrong? Anyone who starts to pontificate about their spirituality will sooner or later come to that question. The true origin of ethics. Now, if Jim Carrey is right and the laws only exist within us, that is, they're subjective to each and every one of us, it's a really lousy basis for formulating any kind of ethical system. You spend time at work, you wonder, what's the right and the wrong thing to do here? Is there a different rule book for the business place than there is for the rest of my life as a Christian? We've got a book for you folks. It's our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. Yes, it is June, and we've got a new book of the month called Christian Ethics in the Workplace. You can order the book online tonight by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section of the website, you'll find information on Christian ethics in the workplace, or you can call Concordia Publishing House tomorrow during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Tell them that you'd like to purchase the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. Good Father's Day gift, by the way, June 15th. Don't forget it. Christian Ethics in the Workplace, 1-800-325-3040. The book costs only $14.99 plus shipping and handling. 1-800-325-3040 or go to our website, issuesetc.org. Okay. Some famous people, or less than famous people, were asked what they would do if you were God. Here's a couple. Jerry Jenkins, who's co-author of the fabulously popular Left Behind series, in answer to the question what he would do if he were God, I'd make the driver ahead of me wait in the intersection to turn, not back where he might miss his and my chance. I would also make people say they couldn't care less, which is what they mean when they say they could care less. I would make people say figuratively, which is what they mean when they say literally, as in I literally died when I heard that. And finally, I would have them know intuitively that this is all for their own good and that I'm really a nice guy and not annoying grammar cop, literally. At least he's got a sense of humor. That's Jerry Jenkins, what he would do if he were God. He'd correct people's grammar. Andrew Greeley. You might know him as Father Andrew Greeley. He said, if I were God, I'd promptly resign. It is an impossibly difficult job. The Reverend Selena Fox, who is a Wiccan high priestess and an eco-spiritual minister, says, if she were the goddess, I would send a wave of understanding, love, and wisdom throughout all the planet Earth so that humankind and the rest of the web of life could be in better relation, not only for that moment, but for times to come. John Spaulding, who's author of Pilgrim's Digress, says, I'd stick the actual historical Jesus smack in the middle of American Christendom today, like in a megachurch, on Sunday. Then I'd sit back and watch all hell break loose. Jesus wouldn't be able to speak English, of course, so there'd be an instant suspicion of his true identity. The poor guy wouldn't know the book of Romans or Revelations. Worse, he wouldn't even get the Left Behind series, and he'd be baffled when the pastor, through a translator, thanked him for the new gymnasium. Jesus, thanks for the new gym and the parking lot. The hardest part is God would be, what would I do when the crowd turned on me? Says John Spaulding. I like the way that guy thinks. Let's see who else is here. Phil Visker, who is creator of the Veggie Tales, says, I would, with the noblest intentions, make a monumental mess. Having seen the sort of messes I can create in my own personal and professional life, with my tiny little powers, I can only imagine what horrific catastrophe I could engineer with omnipotence. I'll leave God right where he is. Thank you. I like the way he thinks, too. Let's see if we can find anybody else. Tom Bethel from the American Spectator says this. I would give us more evidence that God would exist. I'd hurl a few thunderbolts, maybe, but as soon as I say that, I can't help thinking, well, God must have a reason for not giving us more evidence. What is his reason? He wants us to have faith, says Tom. Faith is a zone of wobbly uncertainties, and the requirement of faith increases our freedom to do both good and evil. An indubitable manifest God would reduce our freedom to choose, and a thrower of thunderbolts would reduce us to slavery. Oh, there's all sorts of responses. Some of the popular responses, interestingly enough, all end up sounding the same. I read one of them before the break. Here's another. These are just from average people who were answering the question, what would you do if you had God's power or if you were God? It's no easy task, writes one. trying to accept persons whose religious beliefs or political opinions differ from my own, yet God does this every day as soon as the sun rises. God is my eternal listener. God knows the world needs listening now more than ever. Imagine a world in which everyone accepted everyone else just the way they are. Imagine peace. That's from AJ in San Diego. There's another one here. Where is this? Tony from Norman Heights says, if I were God for one day, I would open the hearts and minds of all human beings to the power and love and wisdom that all human beings are one family. I would show them the disasters that would happen to the planet if they did not immediately stop fighting and laying waste to natural resources, and I would reveal to them the paradise they can create on Earth with God-given love and wisdom. International leaders would fall on their knees in shame and sorrow for what they have done, and new leaders would rise up to take their place and lead all humans to a new promised land. Only if Tony and Norman Heights were God. Now, I want to point out something here. When you ask the when you answer the question, what I would do if I were God, no matter how you answer, there are very few ways, let me say, of answering that question without leveling a backhanded accusation at the guy who is God, right? I mean, Tony in Norman Heights, why hasn't he swept the world with a feeling of love and peace and opened the hearts of human beings so that they could see the paradise they could create? Why hasn't he caused international leaders to fall on their knees in shame and sorrow for what they have done, and new leaders to rise up and take their place and lead human beings to a new promised land? I was mulling this very question this morning in conversation with a fellow pastor. Now, at the time, I was in the dark night of the soul, I must admit, lamenting some of the things that are happening in my own church body. And I have to admit, I was asking the question, why doesn't God just step in and straighten this out? Because he can. There's no doubt about that. What God can do is never in question. The only question is what he has promised to do. Here's one more. Bunny in Vista, California says, I would issue a message written across the sky around the entire globe to be seen by every living human being on Earth. It would say, I created everything, including you. Now trust me to know how to handle all the details. I love you. That's Bunny in Vista, California. Oh, I can't miss this one, because pretty soon these things just turn into one cliche after another. If I were God, Ernie in San Diego writes, for a little while, every world leader would face an irresistible urge to quiet themselves. In this state of meditation, they would come to realize that if there is any hope for the people ever getting along, that such a hope rests with the children of the world, for children are the future. Is this Michael Jackson or is it Ernie? They would meet together and speak in sincere tones and understand that the adults of the world have set an example for children, indeed plant the seed for how people on a planet should get along. That's what he'd do if he were God. What would you do? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's listen again here in a moment to some of the thoughts of Jim Carrey. He's starring in Bruce Almighty, where he plays a guy who gets God's power for a little while God is on vacation. And, of course, doing press for the movie has led to the inevitable questions about what he believes about God. And he's been pretty forthcoming, I think rather honest about it. And the question I've been asking is, if you had a sit-down with Jim Carrey, heard these things, how would you respond to him? I think he's leaving doors hanging wide open. First, let's hear Carrey on the power of prayer.
I don't necessarily, ask for material things anymore or anything like that. And it may not be through the Virgin Mary. It may just be, straight to God or whatever I need. I do that, and I have done that my whole life. So, I really believe in it.
He believes in the power of prayer. Now, a question I would ask him is, I assume that you also believe that your prayers are answered. I mean, otherwise, what good is prayer if no one's answering them? Why is God answering your prayers? He prays for things. He says he always has. Not so much for material things anymore, but he still prays. He's not quite sure to whom or through whom or who's listening, but someone is listening and someone is answering, and I would ask him that question. Jim, why are your prayers being answered? You see, the answer to that question would tell me a lot about what he really believes, beyond just prayer. You ask the average Christian, why do you believe your prayers are being answered? Why is God answering your prayers? You might be surprised at the kind of answers you get to that. Very unchristian answers. Like, well, I do my best to please him. I try my hardest to obey. Oh, so God owes you something now? Is that how it works? You know, in an answer to that question, you might have an opportunity to say exactly why God does answer prayer. And maybe Jim Carrey might wonder whether or not he's actually praying to the God that does answer prayer. God answers prayer in Scripture for one reason and one reason alone. It has nothing to do with us or our prayer, our sincerity, our eloquence, you name it. Nothing on our end moves God to answer our prayers. God answers prayers because he has promised to do so. He has promised to do so for Jesus' sake. You want to know why God answers prayer? It's because that guy who was hanging dead on a cross 2,000 years ago. That's why God hears your prayers and answers them. Now, if you're praying through Mary or someone else or to whoever, an energy force, you might just be talking to yourself. Carey also says that he's a believer of sorts.
I believe in zucchinis. Holy zucchinis! No, I've gone multi-denominational. I've studied a lot of different things, and basically I don't know what God is, but I know that he's at least an energy that rules all that, you know, walks the earth, and I really think there are laws, and maybe they're within ourselves. I don't know what it is, but I call that God, too.
So he's willing to have a rather broad definition of God. But here's another open door, folks, to tell him about the true God. You know what intrigues me about his response there? It's the word at least. He's at least an energy. Now here is a guy who's gone to the kind of very basic, lowest common denominator definition of God. I mean, if God is anything, he's got to be at least an energy. He's got to at least have something, some power to get something done. This is the God of the New Age. This is the God, sad to say, the default God of many people who call themselves Christian. It's kind of a force that's at work out there, and it's maybe got a direction, but you can harness it here and there. Sometimes it works against you, sometimes it works for you, but generally speaking, that's all the more we can say of God, the lowest common denominator God. Maybe a good way to approach Jim's response there would say, Mr. Carey, rather than let's talk about what God is, let's talk about who God is. It's one thing to say that God, what God is. It's an entirely different thing to ask and answer who God is. God is a who, not a what. And God hasn't left us guessing. He says, I don't know who God is. And he hasn't left any of us guessing. He's made it crystal clear who he is. And he's done this in one way. You don't have to go searching around for it. You don't have to go to the top of a mountain and contemplate the inner depths of your soul to discover this. In a very plain and simple way, God has revealed who he is. In human flesh, a man who actually walked the face of the earth. Just like the people that God rules, he walked the face of the earth. Jesus Christ, and he lived a perfect life in obedience to those laws that you also call God, that are not just in us, they're in God. They are God's will. And in a perfect obedience to his Father, he went to the cross and died. It's a simple story. I'm sure he's heard it. He studied the denominations. He says he's gone multi-denominational and studied a lot of things, so I think he's probably studied this as well. And you know, lost in there among all the nonsense of what the various religions believe is this simple little story of a man who came as God in human flesh, lived a perfect life without sin, but bore our sin to the cross. and died and rose again. It's almost like a children's story. But you know what? That story tells us who God is. That man who walked the earth and lay dead in a grave for 3 days and walked out under his own power after 3 days is God. And it's the only glimpse that God has given us of who he really, really is. Finally, Jim Carrey says that he does believe in some basic moral principles.
I believe that this, you know, this, here's the, here we go. Here we go. Here the we go, secret right? to life.
Yes.
My interpretation of the secret to life is don't do anything or try not to do anything that makes you feel like you deserve to lose, and be grateful for what you have.
This is a tougher one to deal with, but I think there's a chink in the, as I said before, another door hanging open in Jim Carrey's comments. That's why I'm intrigued by his comments, as opposed to the kind of the dogmatic New Age nonsense that's spouted by so many people in Hollywood who've reached his level of fame and acclaim. First of all, he's leaving the door open that he might be wrong about all of this. And then he says, don't do anything that might make you feel like you deserve to lose. I think we're hearing a guy here who, whenever he gets the check for $20 million after doing a movie, realizes he didn't deserve this. He is winning. I mean, how can you interpret his life in any other way, in human standards, than that Jim Carrey is winning? Every time he rolls the dice, it's going his way. He can do no wrong. He can make even bad movies and make money. And people love him. He's winning, but I think in his little key to understanding life, or his key, the secret to life, he betrays the fact that he realizes he didn't deserve this. And he might not be able to explain how it's coming to him. The only thing he can say is be grateful, because why would you be grateful for something that you've earned? I mean, come on, Jim. You earned the $20 million, didn't you? The fame? He has worked his tail off as a comic, as an actor, as a movie star. Didn't you earn it? Why would you be grateful? To whom would you be grateful? And for what reason? Philosophers talking about the problem of evil in the world. This is something I'm sure Jim Carrey's probably studied. If God is so good, why is there evil in the world? But there's a flip side to that coin that I think is just as big a problem, and just as big as opportunity for Christians to talk about Jesus Christ and God's provision of salvation through Jesus Christ. And that is the problem of good in the world. If I'm so bad, why does any good come my way? If I don't deserve this, why do I get what I don't deserve? Why does, to put it in scriptural terms, God continue to shower rain upon the just and the unjust alike? Why does he continue to put up with the humanity? Well, look here. We've got people who are saying, if I were God, I'd change everything. Everything that's happening right now, I'd change it. Because it's not happening the way it ought to happen. World peace, eliminate hunger, an end to all religious divisions by just ignoring our differences. God has obviously fallen down on the job, and if we were God, we'd do it differently. And don't think that just because you wouldn't make everyone join hands in a gigantic world peace hug, that you don't have the same ideas, folks. The very simple question, if I were God, I would. And if you can fill in the blank, I can. I know you can. The very simple fact that we can fill in that blank tells us that we think God isn't doing his job. Look, we do deserve to lose. In fact, it's worse than that. As one mass of humanity, this is what I might say to Jim if I had the opportunity. We not only deserve to lose, we've already lost. We've lost it all. Adam lost it all, and he deserved to lose it all. And so have we as his descendants. When he fell into sin, he lost everything you could lose. And everything he gained by his rebellion and his sin was bad. What did he gain? The curse. More sin. Death. And eternal condemnation. That's what we deserve as the children of Adam. He talks about being grateful. There is a reason to be grateful, and it's not because God simply continues to shower the rain upon the just and the unjust. God is simply doing what God does there. He is caring for his creation, as fallen as it is. The amazing thing about the God that Jim Carrey doesn't apparently know at this point, and I would pray that he would. The amazing thing about that God is that God takes people who deserve death and gives them life. And this God took his son, who deserved life, who deserved glory and honor and acclaim, who had literally, by his perfect life, earned God's eternal reward. He didn't have to earn it. It was his. But he took on human flesh and earned it anyway. But not for himself. He earned it for you and for me. God takes people who don't deserve life and gives it to them. And he takes people, namely Jesus Christ, who deserved life and gives them death. Now, there's a reason to be grateful, because the one who deserved God's reward of eternal life, who earned here in the flesh God's favor by his perfect life, even though he didn't need to earn it, he already had it, he earned it for us, so that we who deserve death might receive life solely because of what Jesus did. And that all the blessings that accrue to us in this life, whatever they may be, how God cares for us, all come to us. Even the answers to prayers, when we don't know who we're praying to, like Jim Carrey says, I don't know who I'm praying to. Even the answers to prayers, when prayed for Christ's sake, come only for that reason. This is the only way to know the true God. But you know, folks, this is not the kind of God that shares his power with us, not the kind of power we've been talking about in this hour. He reserves that to himself. What he shares with us is his weakness in the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's that weakness that is our salvation. God, who is all-powerful, making himself weak so that we might have the forgiveness of our sins. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.